From WNYC, New York Public Radio, I'm Leonard Lopate. This is just one segment of the Leonard Lopate Show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Ann Kirshner and Martin Lemelman have one thing in common. Both are the children of Holocaust survivors. It wasn't until late in life that their mothers opened up and really talked about what had happened to them and how they'd survived. Ms. Kirshner and Mr. Lemelman join me now to tell us about their mother's stories. Ann Kirshner is the author of the book Sala's Gift, and Martin Lemelman's new graphic memoir is called Mendel's Daughter. And I'm very pleased to welcome them both to our show. Are both of your mothers still alive, Ann?
My mother is 82 years old. Yes.
No, my mother died in 1996.
Did you grow up hearing stories about the Holocaust?
Well, I didn't. I heard some stories. I think we lived in back of a candy store, and the only kind of connection between the past were these three needle points that my mother had put on the wall, and she told me that those were from my grandmother Malka. And so that was kind of about it. She kind of off. I did know she survived the Holocaust, but and she'd tell me a couple of stories, but not really. She really didn't want to talk about it.
But kids are curious. They ask questions.
Yeah, but I think one of the things that I did know, even when I was younger, is how my mother was so nervous. What she would say in one of her favorite statements was, "Mein Körper zieht" in Yiddish, which means my body is boiling. And so even when I was 4 years old, I knew that there were things that I didn't ask my mother.
What about you, Anne? Did you ask your mother questions?
No. I had an older brother and a younger brother, and none of us questioned our mother because we would see how when someone approached the subject of the Holocaust or the war, her eyes would fill with tears and she would clearly be visibly pained. And what child wants to cause pain to her mother? So after a while, you simply stop asking.
Did she have certain things like Martin's that would have suggested that at least physically, she had some kind of a response?
No. My mother was determined to become an American wife and mother. She married an American soldier, which was uncharacteristic. Most survivors married other survivors. And she threw herself very much into building a new life in New York.
So when did she open up to you?
She opened up when she was diagnosed with a heart problem and she needed to have triple bypass surgery. And until that morning on July 4th, 1991, I knew nothing about her family or about her experiences. Right before she was having the surgery, she came out to visit me and brought me a box, which I assumed must hold her jewelry because she said she wanted me to have it for safekeeping. Only when I opened it, what I found instead was small pieces of paper folded into a leather, sort of the size of a paperback book. And when I asked her what this was, she said, "These are my letters from the war." And these were the letters that she had received while she was in 5 years of labor camps, and it was the first time I'd ever heard about them.
Had she kept a diary?
She had kept a diary. We didn't find the diary, actually, until a couple of years later. They were in another box. And I still think my mother's got another box hidden somewhere in her house that we haven't found yet. But we have about 350 letters that were written by 80 different correspondents between 1940 and 1945.
In what language?
They are mostly written in German. My mother was Polish, but after the German occupation, they were no longer allowed to write in Polish.
How did she manage to keep them?
The letters were mailed. They were mailed into Nazi slave labor camps. And the rule was supposed to be that if you got one of these letters, you had to hand it back before you were given another one. My mother, however, was 16 years old, young, outgoing, always flaunting the rules, and so she never gave back her letters because she made the decision that these letters were absolutely essential to her survival, and so she wasn't giving them back to anybody.
Martin, did your mother also have some artifacts?
Well, yes.
I mean, other than those three things on the wall.
She did keep a bunch of photographs that she from her life before the war, and she took them with her to America. Just to tell you about how my mother actually told me about the story, it wasn't something that she wanted to do. In 1989, I got a phone call from her, and she said, Matala, I hurt my foot. And I said, well, how did you hurt your foot? And she said, a frozen chicken fell on my foot. And so I said, oh, really? And it must be hurt. And she said, no, it's okay. Don't worry about it. My wife was kind of worried, and she said, why don't you get your mother over here? And she was in Far Rockaway. I was in Allentown. And so I drove her, and she did have a broken foot. And she was told that she had to rest for like 6 weeks. And my mother never rested. And so I would have constant fights with her initially. Don't do the wash the floor. Don't wash the dishes. Don't help with the children. And so then I got the idea of actually getting a video camera and saying to her, this is the time that you need to tell me about what happened to your life in Poland before and after the war.
So in both cases, it actually was a medical crisis that got these women to finally open up. Mm-hmm. And what was it like when she suddenly spoke that openly?
Well, it's kind of funny because initially when I took the video camera and I said, I'm going to start before the war, and then she said to me, is the camera going to understand Yiddish? And I said, yeah, it's going to understand Yiddish. That was her question. My first question was to her, when you woke up and you looked out of your window, what did you see? So I didn't only want to know about her experiences in the Holocaust, which I think were, extremely important, but I also wanted to know about her life before the Holocaust.
My guests are Martin Lemelman, who has written and illustrated a graphic novel called Mendel's Daughter, a memoir which is published by Free Press. And Ann Kirshner has written Sala's Gift, My Mother's Holocaust Story, which is also published by Free Press. So where did they spend their – well, first of all, did your mother grow up, Ann?
My mother grew up in a city called Sosnowiec, Poland. She was the youngest of 11 children. And she actually volunteered to go to the labor camp.
Is a labor camp different than a concentration camp?
Very different, very different. The labor camps were formed in the early years of the war, and they were intended really for the German businesses, which had to find a way to staff their factories. And so the Germans sent a letter to many of the Jews in Sosnowiec, Poland, saying that you had to show up for 6 weeks in a labor camp, that you'd be paid, and that if you went, everyone else in the family would remain unharmed. The letter demanding that someone show up for the labor camp was actually sent to my mother's sister, not to my mother. But my mother felt that she was younger and more outgoing, and that she would be better suited for whatever this strange thing was called a labor camp. So she volunteered to go into her sister's place, and her sister then became the most prolific of the letter writers and wrote well over 100 of them.
And what happened to the rest of the family? Were they spared?
No, they were not spared. Of the 11 children, 3 survived the war, my mother and 2 other sisters. Neither of those sisters were able to have children, so it was only my mother who brought children into the next generation.
And Martin, how did your mother survive the war?
Well, she lived in the forest and in a hole in the ground, which she called a grave.
In what country?
In Poland. Now it's the Ukraine, but then it was Poland. And she stayed there with my 2 uncles and with my aunt, and they survived the Holocaust.
And they just ate what they foraged?
Well, what was interesting about my mother's story, I think, is the kind of nuances They foraged, they stole food, but also there were good Christians who really helped them and went out of their way to really help my mother and her siblings survive.
Why do you think she chose not to talk to you about what had happened for so long?
Well, I think even now, I mean, she would say, "Feh, who needs to know this?" I did ask her a number of times, and it was like, and finally.
But she must have been aware that there were other people who were talking about it. Right. Elie Wiesel, for example, there were movies. And I'm sure you were aware of Mouse coming out.
Yeah,
Art
yeah.
Spiegelman's graphic novel.
Yeah, but still, I think it was such a personal thing. And I think when she did finally tell the story, it was really emotional and there were a lot of tears. And I think it brought up a lot of memories. I wanted to take her to the Ukraine again to visit the town of Gamakivka. And she said in 92, and just for that same reason, just to kind of visit, because she told me that it still exists. And her house still exists. And so she said, no, it's a graveyard.
But, Anne, you did make a visit back to Poland, didn't you?
We did make a visit. I had initially intended to go by myself, and then my mother agreed to accompany me, and we all went back. And I think what I understood for the first time was that what my mother had done was really a supreme act of optimism, that she believed you could reinvent yourself. And the letters, which had saved her during the war, somehow then seemed to get in the way of that act of reinvention until we were grown and had children of our own, and then she could suddenly tell us the story. So I became acquainted with a 16-year-old person I never knew. And to be your mother's biographer is sort of an odd twist of you know, an inversion of the usual roles of mother and child.
Did knowing what your mother had been through and talking about it with her change your relationship?
It did change our relationship. It in a way, as I said, it became an inversion, that I was asking the questions and she was answering them. But I also saw the courage and the strength in my mother that I hadn't necessarily seen before. And I saw not a victim of the Holocaust, but I saw the specific decisions that my mother had made to take control of what happened to her. She volunteered to go to the camp in place of her sister. She volunteered to serve as a seamstress, which ended up giving her much more in the way of food and support than she would have had in the early years of the war. And then she made the decision to marry an American soldier after the war and to rebuild a life.
Who did your mother marry, Martin?
My mother married a survivor, too. Actually, he joined the Red Army, and most of his family did die, but he was a soldier in the war, and then they met at a displaced person camp.
And had you had an opportunity to ask him about what had happened?
A little bit. He really, just like my mother, didn't really want to speak about it.
So what led you to decide, and I'm asking both of you, although you came up with very different solutions, to put this into book form? In your case, Martin, you did a graphic novel, not like Mouse. It is more. It has a lot of text, and then you've illustrated it.
Yeah,
that because you filmed her?
Well, not only that, I filmed her. I think one of the things, I didn't go to the Ukraine with my mother, but I did go to the house in Gamakivka because I knew I wanted to do some sort of book. And I wanted it to be real. I wanted these to be real people. The sense of a lot of comics and graphic novels is a kind of generality to things, and or there are types. They draw types. And what I wanted to do is see the lay of the land, what was there. And when I went there, I actually saw the house, and it really hadn't changed at all. And so the well that my grandfather built and the people in the town, whether they're Christian or Jews, went to drink at this well was there. The oven that they slept on in the winter to keep warm was there. So that was really something. And so the drawings that I have are realistic because this happened to real people.
And we get real faces here.
Yes, absolutely.
In your case, Anne, did you learn anything from going to Poland?
Oh, tremendously, tremendously. It was like seeing the letters come to life. You know, these letters are perfectly preserved time capsules, so they're not memories. They were written actually at the time, and so you have the sense of what it was like to try and lead a normal life in a world gone absolutely mad. When we gave the letters to the New York Public Library, which then put them in the permanent collection of the library, what I saw then for the first time was how people respond to stories, to people, rather than just to textbooks. And it was then that I think my mother also understood how important the letters could be.
It's interesting. I'm sure most people whose parents have been much more open about their past know less about them than the both of you know about your mother. It's because you actually researched them.
Forbidden fruit, yes.
There are all sorts of questions I have about my mother who passed away a few years ago. There's no one to ask.
It almost always happens when I have a discussion about the letters that someone, their eyes will sort of mist over, and they'll talk about the lost opportunities, how they never asked their father about what happened to him in the war. And so I'm so grateful that I had my mother at my side as I wrote the book.
And she also, I'm sure, has read the book.
She has read the book. There were many things in the book that she was not present for, because she obviously had her, she was in a Nazi slave labor camp and had very little understanding of what was happening in the world at large. And that actually was quite difficult. You know, the description of the day that her parents were taken to Auschwitz, which comes in letters that were written to my mother, those were not events that my mother was present for. So I had to fill in some details, which I think added to the burden of the past.
My guests are Anne Kirshner, whose book Sala's Gift, My Mother's Holocaust Story, is published by Free Press. She is dean of the CUNY Honors College at the City University of New York. And Martin Lemelman, whose book, Mendel's Daughter, a memoir, also from the Free Press. He is an illustrator whose client list includes Grolier's Children's Television Workshop, Scholastic, Parents Magazine Press, Crayola, and the Jewish Publication Society. And I want to thank you both so much for being with us today. And also, you might want to know that they will be you will be speaking about your books tomorrow night at the 92nd Street Y. That's
yes,
at 8:15. For details, by the way, you can check out our show page at WNYC.org. I got totally lost there. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Leonard Lopate Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.